The manifestation of the wounded mind has been in human history from some of the earliest days. So it's been present, but not everyone, it's not been noticeable because it's been a normalized part of the mindset. And so I wanted to look at different perspectives to see how other traditions could actually perceive and describe the aspects of this mind virus, wounding mind. So I looked at the shamanism as discussed by Don Juan with his encounters with Carlos Castaneda, through the work of Rudolf Steiner, who talked about it, not a lot in his work, but when he did mention this, he talked about it in terms of the Ariman and the Arimanic impulse. And then, of course, there's the depth psychology of Carl Jung and how he looked at the phenomenon of the collective unconscious, which really in Western vocabulary, the collective unconscious didn't really exist as a term per se, and the shadow of the collective unconscious. And of course, there's the Wetiko virus from the Jack Forbes explains in terms of the American Indian traditions. So if I try to run through them quickly, because they all have different aspects, but they all show the virus in operation. Now, the Wetiko, the name that Jack Forbes used or expressed from the American Indians, they saw it as a disease primarily of Western or the white person's civilization, in that they didn't really manifest it. And that they saw this as an impulse running through most of the civilizational waves of colonialism, really, going back from before Rome. So any of these kind of empires had to operate through conquering, competition, colonial impulse, and this was all this virus way of operating through this very aggressive impulse. Although we have to say that Jack Forbes only looked at it from this perspective, not looking at in some of the indigenous perspectives, because the virus is actually everywhere. And in terms of Steiner and the Aramanic impulse, which is also fairly recently, it comes into the 20th century as well, it was an impulse which was this kind of energetic, let's say very negative energetic form or influence that was directing human nature and human civilization. To give an example, I think, because there aren't many, Steiner doesn't mention it overly much in his work or in all his corpus of his work, but he does say that the conditions that the Aramanic presence wishes to create includes the following: a materialistic mechanical conception of the universe, a rational materialistic based scientific dogma, an economic view of social dynamics and systems, a strong feature of nationalism and national identities, the popularity of separatist party politics, the prevalence of fundamentalism in religious dogma, and the dominance of an arid, dry intellectual culture. Now, he was writing about 100 years ago, and this is as relevant today as it was then, if not more so. So there's a certain type of culture that this kind of mental, energetic virus or mindset wishes to move towards, which, as you can see, is a form of social management. And I think that's why in the rest of the book I looked quite acutely at what I called modern hypermodernity, the modern social structures, because that highlights these impulses quite well. And in terms of Don Juan, as he related to Carlos Castaneda, he said very succinctly, he said that the trick that this disease or this influence did was it gave humanity its mind. So rather than trying to conquer us overtly, it subtly switched itself with the human mind, i.e. the thinking patterns, the consciousness, the view of the world, which we think exists in our head, actually we receive from external influences. And if this virus is in the collective field, then we actually start to think in the same way of this as this negative influence. And that again is one that runs on fear. The virus has a fear of being found out, because once you know something is there, you're more aware of it. And that fear also is one which is inoculated into the human mindset, that we fear new things, we fear change, we fear the uncertainty, we want the status quo, and we fear anything which is outside of our remit of acquired knowledge. So this fear is built into the mindset. And Carl Jung discussed all this perspective from depth psychology, and how the collective unconscious, we draw archetypes from it. We draw from it and we use in our daily lives, but also we can be putting back into the collective unconscious. So we can be mirroring and spreading, if there's a virus in the collective unconscious, which I say there likely is, we start to put it back into the collective unconscious. We spread it, which also I talk about in the book, we now spread externally through our global communications. And so we also then have this kind of shadow part of the collective unconscious. And Jung has talked about the shadow part in his work, and the healer being the wounded healer, and we have to go through our trauma. And that's all in the book as well, about healing the wounded mind is about recognizing that we have maybe an unbalanced or traumatic mindset, and we have to heal that also individually and collectively, which is why we're going through a collective upheaval transition as well as individually in many of our lives.
You wrote in the book that, and as you also mentioned earlier, that this mind actually gives itself to us, so we are not even thinking in terms of having an external virus in us, but we think, or we think we have a thought. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what you wrote, that it's already part of it, that when we tap into this thinking, we already connect and behaving, thinking in the way as this virus has been programmed, maybe itself and us as well. So how can we be clear about whether actually that what's going on in our mind is part of it? Mm-hmm. And how many percent? I mean, if we just think of a person who gets up in the morning and starts having thoughts. Mm-hmm.
This is the thing, we're so imbued with it. It's like the fish in water analogy. We're swimming in it, so how do we know that, A, how do we know it's there, and B, once we know it's there, how do we know it's not telling us to think about it, because we're in it. And another thing, it sometimes I think it's like the chicken and the egg, I mean, which came first. It's really hard to say what came first. You know, humanity just wasn't, in idyllic lifestyle, and then boom, this mind came in and said, I'm going to take over. I think what we've seen is also a product of this kind of third dimensional life and this consciousness, is that when we're in this type of perceptive reality, these ways and patterns of thinking exist. So they're part and parcel of the level where we're at in the consciousness movement. So I think it's all wrapped up in our social conditioning as well. We need to take time to actually decondition ourselves. And by deconditioning ourselves, taking the layers away, peeling them away, we start to actually see how this absurdity is manifesting in the world. I mean, even now, people know when they watch the news, even though the mainstream news isn't that good, when you just see the news, that there's so much idiocracy, crazy thinking, sociopathic, psychopathic behavior in the world. I mean, what's going on? So we can actually see it quite clearly. The more we can decondition away from our systemic layers of conditioning, this absurdity becomes even clearer. And it gets to a point where you then can start to separate, as I say, the wheat from the chaff. You can start to separate what is really upside down behavior and thinking, and what is more correct thinking. And so, and from that, you can start to understand what's one kind of level of consciousness and where another level of consciousness starts to come in. And so we can only really start to see the water, or the fish can see the water, once they start to shift their consciousness. It's very difficult to see what's going on from the same level of consciousness. Just to use that very oft used phrase from Einstein, you can never create a solution from the same consciousness which created the problem. So in a similar way, we cannot really see a way out of this, or even see the real problem, if we're still looking at it from the same consciousness that we use every day. So really, it's if we start to feel and know that something's not right, it's a signal that we have to then go through a process of shifting our consciousness, deconditioning ourselves to get a better perspective on this oddity that we are somehow aware of.